It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Hello, everyone. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. It is great to be with you on the morning of Christmas Eve. We'll call it Christmas Eve, won't we? This is Christmas, as in the birth of Christ, baby Jesus. A lot of people don't want to talk about baby Jesus or the origins of Christmas or anything to do with religion in general. Now, we're also in the middle of Hanukkah, which is great, and there may be a lot of other seasonal greetings that are going on here, but I guess as a Catholic convert, I want to celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ. Americans of faith have long recognized that this is the birth of Christ. But a lot of progressives on the left don't want to celebrate Christmas, do they? They don't want to mention Christmas because they don't want any religion in this. And I don't want to go off on the deep end here, but I do want to note, I mean, I've said this many times before, religion, and by the way, that includes the freedom of speech, the freedom of religious speech, but religion is really, religion, faith, this has to be the basis of our culture. You lose religion, I mean, you lose the Ten Commandments, you lose the birth of Christ, you lose the Old Testament, you lose the New Testament, you lose a lot. You may lose everything. You lose family values. You lose the difference between right and wrong. You lose moral compass. I could go on and on. A lot of issues bound up in this. You know, Joe Biden, President Biden, he gives his annual Christmas address, the Christmas tree lighting speech, you know, the National Christmas Tree Lighting Speech. And it was completely devoid of any references to God or Jesus Christ or the meaning of Christmas itself. He did the same thing last year, too. And I find it, you know, annoying, but I find it just wrong. I mean, he's always telling us what a good Catholic he is and so forth. But he refuses, I mean, the president, this year's tree lighting speech avoided any mention of the religious significance of this event. I mean, how can you do that? How can you do that? I will go to midnight mass tonight, as will, I don't know, millions and millions of Americans who are Christians, Catholics, Christians. And I'm going to refer to the Old Testament also, because after all, Hanukkah is part of this great holiday. But this, you know, Christmas is Christmas. And Biden talks about holiday season, and then he goes off into unity and joy and hope and light, and he just will not talk about the birth of Christ, baby Jesus. And there's several articles about this that you might want to look at. The one I'm looking at particularly is AMAC Newsline, written by Seamus Brennan. Very good article by Seamus Brennan. It also came up on Fox News, I guess, yesterday or the day before. Again, why will Joe Biden not talk about Christmas? Or put it another way, why does he insist on following, you know, this leftist de-Christianizing of Christian holidays? And by the way, you can contrast that. Maybe it's unfashionable, but I'm going to bring in Donald Trump, my former boss. Trump had a number of presidential Christmas messages that were full of explicit references to God. Can you imagine that? To God. And Trump's remarks every year, 2017, 18, 19, 20, his remarks at the National Christmas Tree Lighting Ceremony had constant references and reverence for the birth of Jesus Christ. And I'll just quote For Christians, this is a holy season, the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the former president said during his 2017 ceremony. The Christmas story begins 2,000 years ago with a mother, a father, their baby son, and the most extraordinary gift of all, the gift of God's love for all of humanity. Whatever our beliefs, we know that the birth of Jesus Christ and the story of his life forever changed the course of human history. I mean, that's really terrific stuff. The Wall Street Journal always runs an editorial about this, written by the late editor Vermont Royster, and talks about the freedom that came with the birth of Jesus and what a dark period it was. There was only one state, and it was Rome, and there was one master for all, and it was Tiberius Caesar. And everywhere there was oppression for those who were not the friends of Caesar. The tax gatherer taking the grain from the fields and the flax from the spindle to feed the legions or to fill the hungry treasury from which divine Caesar then gave largesse to the people. There was persecution of men who dared think differently, who heard strange voices or read strange manuscripts. There was the enslavement of men whose tribes came not from Rome. And then it goes on, then all of a sudden there was a light in the world and a man from Galilee saying, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. And the voice from Galilee, which would defy Caesar, offered a new kingdom in which each man would walk upright and bow to none but his God. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And he sent this gospel of the kingdom of man into the uttermost ends of the earth. So the light came into the world, and the men who lived in darkness were afraid, and they tried to lower a curtain so that man would still believe salvation lay with the leaders. But it came to pass for a while in diverse places that the truth did set man free. The voice said, haste ye, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And then my favorite apostle, really the intellectual guardian and guidelight of the story of Christ. Along the road to Damascus, the light shone brightly. But afterward, Paul of Tarsus, too, was sore afraid. He feared that other Caesars, other prophets, might one day persuade men that man was nothing save a servant unto them, that men might yield up their birthright from God for pottage and walk no more in freedom. And then it might come to pass that darkness would settle again over the lands, and there would be a burning of books, and men would think only of what they should eat and what they should wear, and would give heed only to new Caesars and to false prophets. And then it might come to pass that men would not look upward to see even a winter star in the east, and once again there would be no light at all in the darkness. And so Paul, the apostle of the Son of Man, spoke to his brethren, the Galatians, the words he would have us remember afterward in each of the years of his Lord. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's from an essay, In Hoc Anno Domini, which was an editorial written back in 1949 by the late Wall Street Journal editor Vermont Royster. The journal runs out every year, the day before Christmas. And going back, you know, going all the way back to God-centered rhetoric during the Christmas season. This is not just for Republicans. President Franklin Roosevelt rightly saw Christmas as an occasion to rejoice in the birth of Christ. Bill Clinton appealed to the birth of Jesus, to his luminous teachings, and his timeless message of God's enduring and unconditional love for each and every person. And even early Barack Obama spoke of Christ's message, which in Obama's words, lies at the heart of my Christian faith and that of millions of Americans. And Obama goes on, Christ's birth made the angels